please step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 489. I'm Lisa Sheps. I am joined today with my co-host, extraordinaire and spooky in air, Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. This is streaming live at koop.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Off Stage and On the Air. Do not go away.
Step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
It is Wednesday, October 31st. It is Halloween! On the show today, we have Penfold Theater and Dr. Mr. Productions and their show, Nevermore, The Imaginary Life and Mysterious Death of Edgar Allan Poe. And of course, we'll have thrilling and scary conversations about the news and views of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, London, and Transylvania. Do not go away!
But he can't sink my battleship now, cause Dad was killed by a Kandarian demon.
You started singing right from the beginning, so you like this song.
I actually like that. Folks will know, of course, you can't help but know that that is from Evil Dead the musical.
Yes.
Which I think Dr. Mista did at one point.
Yes.
I believe I saw it.
Yes.
And it was done at, where was it done? Anybody remember?
Salvage Vanguard.
Was it on Salvage Vanguard?
I was about to say, get right up
on that microphone.
It was our first show.
Okay. Yeah. So, and I remember seeing it. It was fun. It was the first time I'd seen it. I am not, and I will go on record as saying this right now, a big fan of Halloween or horror movies or horror shows.
Why?
I'm going to just say it. Not a fan.
Is there a reason? Or
don't
just
know.
never been your bag?
Never
well, sometimes
been my
bag. It's a moment that changed someone.
It's
and sometimes
a moment.
It's just, I never was into it.
So before we introduce our guests, I want to check in with you, Miss Nicole Shiro. How you doing?
I am good. I'm good. I'm just getting ready. Cold's coming in. Going to New York this weekend.
Going to New York. What are you going to see? What did you decide? You're taking
We're breaking my niece out of school early on Friday to take her into the city.
You want to see Hamilton?
No, she chose not to see Hamilton. I asked her. She was like, nope. I'm like, are you sure? Because I can get tickets. Nope, she chose Mean Girls over Hamilton, which I am totally excited for. It's the original cast minus Carrie Butler, who I don't like, so I was excited.
Oh, yeah.
It's the original mom from the workshop. I'm like, yeah! And then we're going to see King Kong on Friday night.
Oh, you know, it's...
It's all about the puppet, and that's all it's about. It's not about anything else.
Just want to go on record as saying, and you know, it's 2 o'clock in New York right now, and there were a lot of people that had tickets to the matinee performance of King Kong today, canceled.
I know.
They want to do some work. So instead of watching King Kong on Broadway, you're listening to Offstage and On the Air.
Here's the best part. If you go to, I had to go to the Facebook because it hasn't been opened yet. It opens next week.
Don't worry about it.
Anyway, I went onto the Facebook page to read some of the comments and I just started cracking. This one lady in all caps, fix it, fix it, fix it. The puppet's great. Fix it, fix it, fix it. I was laughing my tuchus off. But then my cousin is running in the New York City Marathon on Sunday. And that is what I'm most excited about because that's just amazing. And she's running for childhood cancer.
Good. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, another wonderful show from Kim Simpson and the International Folk Bazaar.
It was spooky.
It was spooky. And then before that, we had Roland taking over Ted Smouse's show, which is pretty amazing. Roland was going to stick around and come here and scare us, but he didn't.
Why didn't
Let's introduce the folks that are here with us, shall we?
We shall.
We have
Please
Emily
do.
Christine Smith. Hi, Emily.
Hello.
Hello. We have Tyler Jones.
Hey there.
Matt Conley. Hi, Matt.
Hey, hey.
And you know, I'm just going to keep saying it over and over again. You got to get right up on that microphone. And Mr. Ryan Crowder.
Hi.
The incomparable. So there's just so much to talk about, and I know we're not going to have time, but I need to start with this because you know it's 6 days before Election Day.
It is.
I should start off before I say anything else that the opinions expressed here on this show are not that of the staff or board of directors of Co-op, but simply my own personal opinions, and my opinions are correct. So who's heard of Kristen Anderson Lopez and Bobby Lopez? Anybody here heard of those names?
The Lopez's.
The Lopez's. They wrote, amongst other things, what's the song from Frozen?
I was like, Let It Go. Thank you.
Anyway, they took to YouTube. Did anybody see this?
No.
They have a great song on YouTube that they wrote for talking about the amazing amount of women that are running for public office and to encourage people to vote. And I will give you a little taste of it here, but it is also a link on our website, offstageonair.com. So let's give a little listen just for a little second.
Mom takes care of so much for me and you. There seems to be no limit to the she has to do. She paid your allowance and helped you grow up strong. So how about some equal pay for mom?
Election Day is Tuesday, November 6th. Get out there and vote for the 260 amazing women trying to change the way Congress looks.
Mom gives a bath and helps with math while writing that new song.
So it's a cute little video. It's the two of them sitting. That little crackle you're hearing is not a bad recording. They're sitting in front of a fireplace, which they probably regretted afterwards. They go, we're professional musicians. And he's playing on a ukulele, and I just love ukulele. And they're,
I do too.
They're just darn cute together. That's called Vote for Mom. And we had to bleep out, so that was us bleeping. So it's got some
curse words.
It's got some curse words, and they talk about uteruses and things like that. So, but anyway, that is my little hint to you that I would encourage you to vote, no matter what you vote for or who you vote for. It's very important to vote. Texas is 49 out of 50, I think, in voter participation. Mm-hmm. We should change that. We have early voting here. There is no excuse. And I've made this offer before. I continue to make it. It is not a hollow offer. If you want to ride to the polls, call me or email me at lisa@offstageonair.com. If I am available, I will pick you up. I'll take you to the polls. I'll wait for you, and I will take you home.
Early voting ends this Friday.
Yeah.
So you can early vote up until this Friday. And
which
then
is like, if I do my math right, it's like 3 days from now.
Yes. Yeah. Here's, you want to know what's really cool? I had to look it up because I just remember Rock the Vote as a child. Rock the Vote still exists. That was very exciting. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it like you would see it in splurts, and now there's so many different young people doing ways to vote. But I was all like, oh, Rock the Vote's still going strong. And I had to go back and relive some of those campaign. It was a flashback through the 90s. It was interesting. But I got excited. I was like, Rock that Vote!
It would be impossible for me to have a flashback for the 90s because I was unconscious for most of it.
So was I. So it was just like that blur. Yeah.
So we did have, we had a death this week that was very sad. Intozaki Shange, she died. She is the playwright of For Color Girls, who considered suicide when the rainbow is enough, which had a production here.
Which was recently done, yeah.
About a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. She was 70 years old, and she died as a result of, they think, is the complications, or after 10 years ago, she had a major stroke. Mm. So her sister's name is Ifa Bayaze.
What's
now,
a great name.
So one would make the assumption that these children were born in Africa, but no, they were born in New Jersey. And they changed their names. So I thought that was interesting. Anyway, Trenton, New Jersey. Tazake's name was Paulette Williams before she changed it. Anyway, Susan Laurie Parks wrote, so she was the first. So when Color Girls opened, I think it was 1976. Yeah, 1976. I was a senior in high school. Wow. At the Booth, my favorite theater, for a straight plays. And
it's named after my cousin running this Sunday in the marathon. She's a Booth.
She's a Booth. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln. So she was a role model for so many women and African American women of the time, because in 76, you know, there were not a lot of women playwrights, much less African American women. Yeah. And so Susan Laurie Parks, amongst other people, looked at her as a role model. But I like this quote from her that Susan Laurie Parks did for her. What's it called when you do a piece of paper, tell about someone after they've died?
An autobiography?
Obituary? Oh.
The obituary. Thank you. I lost it. Yeah. This is what happens when you hit your head on a piece of furniture. I saw Intozaki enter the room, Miss Parks said, and I stood up. And the younger playwrights said, what's the matter? Why are you standing? And I said, the queen has just entered the room.
Oh.
This is a really good obituary. I mean, rarely do I read all the way through the obituaries in the Times, because they'll talk about them and then they get into some biographical stuff that I don't care as much about. But this one I read start to end and I was sort of teary-eyed at the end. It's a good one to
read. It does happen. I know. I get those too and I'm like, oh man.
So there was a film adaptation directed by Tyler Perry of Color Girls.
Mm-hmm. I was like...
And listen to this cast. It was in...
within the last 10
2010.
Years, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The cast was Janet Jackson, mm-hmm. Kerry Washington, Felicia Rashad, Annika Nani Rose, I have a hard time saying that, and Whoopi Goldberg. Medea.
I remember all this.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? So,
he does take a break from Medea once in a while.
He does. Well, and I just heard him on the radio today. Medea has the final and it's gone. He said no more.
Oh. But he's like, Medea's like the Rolling Stones. They say they're on a final tour and yet they come back.
I've never seen it. I know we can't get to everything that I want to talk about, so we'll talk about, we did have a Broadway opening, so we sort of have to talk about that, right?
Right. Yes.
The Waverly Gallery, starring the amazing Elaine May.
Yes.
Amongst others. It also had, what's his name in it? Oh my God, why can't I remember his
that
name?
That dude.
well, it's written by Kenneth Lonergan and...
that other dude.
And directed by Lila Neubegger. Lucas Hedges... Joan Allen, Michael Cera, and David Cromer. I mean, an amazing...
Joan Allen's kind of rocks herself.
Yep.
I love me some Joan Allen.
And it basically tells about a garrulous woman.
Garrulous is a great word.
It's a great word. I actually had to look it up because it was one of those words that I think I should know anyway. But I would, of course, anybody...
You're going to use it more often?
I might. Well, because some people accuse me of being garrulous.
Garrulous.
Anybody?
Garrulous.
Come on, somebody smart here.
Can you use it in a sentence?
That's normally what I always say to her, so I love it.
Not without
you
giving
did.
It away. But here, I'll give this.
I was like, use the sentence it's in.
It's clear that for this garrulous woman, idle conversation isn't a time killer, it's a lifeline. Talky.
I was like, but yeah. Chatty Cathy.
Trivial matters.
Chatty Cathy.
So main character is in. I'm going to read this straight from the review.
You and I are very garrulous. Let's think about it. Let's really talk
professionally.
Yeah.
Professionally. Written by Ben Brantley. He said, an octogenarian New Yorker, former lawyer, and perpetual hostess for whom schmoozing and kibitzing have always been as essential as breathing. Gladys operates on the principle that if she can just continue to talk, she can surely power through the thickening fog of her old age. So it's about a woman that is beginning stages of Alzheimer's and how that does. So Elaine May... I did there was a play that I did like in all my high school stuff called Adaptation, written by Elaine May, that was just wonderful, called Adaptation. It is so politically incorrect. It could never be done today, but it was great. But Elaine May's last Broadway performance was 50 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Was it really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. Great review, mostly about her. So from Ben Brantley. Other critics, Charles Isherwood of Broadway News, said, under the subtly changing direction of Lila Neubauer, all the actors give performances deeply attuned to the studied simplicity of Lagerand's writing. The cast is uniformly excellent, but while the Waverly Gallery, I should have said that's the name of the show, the Waverly Gallery.
You did in the opening.
Okay. In fundamentally an ensemble play, there's no question that May is first among equals here. It's a flawless performance.
Wow. Well, that's not nice or anything.
On the other side, the Daily Beast, Tim Tiemann said, but all the characters are set on a rinse and repeat sequence of impatience and anguish, which is very real when it comes to caring for a loved one suffering from Alzheimer's, but adds up to a hollow feeling act of theater that isn't sure if it wants its audience to laugh or cry before queasily opting for both. I should say that's the only review I read that was not positive. So,
really?
Very good, yeah. They didn't like the set all that much. Costumes Are Good by Anne Roth. I forgot who did the set. I suppose I could look it up in here somewhere, but I'm not going to.
Don't.
Yeah, I don't care. It's Halloween. Boo!
You're crazy. So, you're living on the edge, Mo.
Especially for Halloween, I have little things like this.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
You know, just if we ever need it, you know, there's...
For someone who hates Halloween, you have Halloween. a lot of sound bites.
I did that basically for you.
So you did play The Wizard of Oz. Are you going to talk about that Wicked special this week?
Yes, it's on my list. It's on my list. But I want to talk about a couple other things first so that we don't lose time. The Drama Bookshop in New York. It's been around for 40 years.
This made me...
Emily.
Yes. Big,
yeah,
it makes me so sad.
It made me so sad. I know.
It still
made me read.
It's not closing. It is not closing. It's just moving, but they don't know where.
It's still sad. They don't know where. That's right. A problem.
They don't know where because they can't afford it. So they're rent. So take a guess. So they're on 40th Street between. So I don't know what avenue it's on. I suppose I could read it, but. Guess what their rent is. Now, this is a small retail store, not huge. What do you suppose their monthly rent is? This flabbergasted me.
$8,000.
Oh. Okay, you say $8,000. What's that sound for? You mean think it's more than that?
Yeah.
What do you think it is?
Well, I read what you're doing.
Oh, you know what you're
doing. So I'm just going to admit giving that's it away. Not fair.
It's $20,000 a month.
Uh-huh. Whoa.
Isn't that amazing? Right. Wow. And they're selling $10 books.
Yep. After I just bought Broadway tickets, not surprised.
Yeah. So understandably, the Broadway community, because the Drama Bookstore has been there forever. And I forgot there was another one called Applause Books. I totally forgot about it until I read this article. It closed, I think, at the beginning of 2000, somewhere around there, that was up in the Upper West, like in the 70s. Mm-hmm. But everybody has come out, Lin-Manuel Miranda amongst them. So there's a big push to help them at least stay afloat for a while. But they have decided not to renew their lease. So I guess they've got to figure out what's it going to do. So I was sending lots of positive vibes over to the Drama Bookstore.
The Drama Book people.
Yeah. I just right before we went on the air, I heard about this before, but I forgot about it. So does anybody watch or has anybody heard of this person, James Corden, who does these things in a car?
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So does anybody know who his next car passenger is going to be?
I do.
Of course you do. You do. Everybody does. Well, for the audience who doesn't know, or maybe like one person doesn't know, let's listen to this.
Do you mind if we listen to some music?
I don't usually put the radio on and hear music. So, do you really have to hear music?
Don't tell me not to live, just sit and putter. Life's candy and the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring around the clouds and rain on my parade.
The Babs. Raining on my parade in the car.
Never sang in the car. I almost fell over and was like, woman, you're missing. Joys
of life.
Wait, sorry, you have to repeat everything you just said because your mic wasn't on.
She's never sang in her car before. She has a mall in her basement, but she's never sang in the car and has missed.
So you know she's
life.
Not telling the truth, right? That was for the bit that they did.
I know.
I'm just saying.
Well, you know.
Okay.
This one with Michael Bublé made me cry. This week, he's been on fire with him.
What happened with Michael Bublé?
Michael Bublé's son has been. Fighting cancer. He's actually now gotten a clean bill of health, but got diagnosed when he was 2 years old. That's heavy. And Michael Bublé has actually decided to retire and pull away from the music business to focus on raising his children and being around for them. But he did an episode this week. It was one of the most touching. It was for Stand Up for Cancer. Yeah. And it was one of the most touching carpool karaoke's I've ever seen. Like, James was crying and Bublé was crying, and then they were jamming and harmonizing, and he tortured him with saxophones because Michael Bublé thinks saxophones are scary, weird instruments. They creep him out.
All right. Well, you can always check that out on the YouTubes. So we've had a couple of things, and this is for you, Miss Nicole. So do you remember Nerds the Musical?
Yes, okay, I saw this one.
Nerds the Musical. Does anybody else remember Nerds the Musical? It's a musical about the rivalry between Steve Jobs and Bill Gates.
Bill Gates.
And in 2016, they were in rehearsal, set to open on Broadway, and they suddenly stopped and shut everything down.
They ceased to exist.
Yep. And it turns out that the producers, Carl Levin and Vicky Halmos, allegedly told them that they had a big investor. Specifically, they mentioned, Randy Zuckerberg and Microsoft as investors to lure people in to get their money for a $7.45 million capitalization. But in reality, they only had $200,000. So they shut down. So they're suing him.
I call that a scam.
Yeah. So,
I was about to say, can we have another soundbite, please?
Yeah. So that's a pretty big deal. But this is not an unusual thing. So my thinking is it happens more often than we think.
Then it makes into the press. Yes.
Continuing our diatribe on Bad Boys. Let's talk about Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Did you see this one?
No, I did not.
Okay, so do you all know about Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it is bigger than Hamilton in terms of getting tickets.
Right.
It's been playing on the West End for a year and a half. It's been on Broadway for 6 months. The actors in there are coming up. Their contracts are coming up for renewal. They are offering these actors an additional $200 a week. And the actors are going, what? You guys are super duper crazy multimillionaires on this one show. And they said, okay, we'll make it 300. And the actor said, you know what? We're leaving. So most of them are threatening to leave if they don't get a decent raise. And I have to say, I agree. You have something that's this big of a hit. You know, it's grossing between $2 and $3 million a week. In New York, not to mention,
you have to see two shows to see the whole thing.
Right.
So it's even like another,
it's like $500 a person.
I believe it's a scam.
And also, admittedly, it costs a lot more to produce in New York than in London. We talk about this all the time, that the London producers always have a little bit of a heart attack when they come to New York. Mm-hmm. But still, there's this one line from this article I like. This is from Showbiz 411, written by Roger Freeman. He says, only the child actors will stay because their parents are having a good time. Thought that was fun. Anyway, okay, we have time for one, maybe two more. So did anybody watch It's a Wicked, The Wicked Halloween? I did as well.
I did too.
Emily, did you?
I did not.
No. So what did we think, guys? So I
loved it.
You loved it. Okay. Nicole?
Kristen Chenoweth was tired, man. That was painful to watch. Popular. I'm sorry.
Oh, I liked her.
I thought that part was awkward.
She was hamming it up.
Awkward, but the whole thing was weird.
I'll tell you, I think that little Ariana Grande, man, she did a little job on her.
I could have lived without Ariana. But my favorite part was the end. So at the very end,
everything.
For Good, the song For Good, they brought all the. Many of the Elphabas and Glendas out together. And so there were probably, 10 or 11 couples of all singing, and they all had solos. And they were like looking at each other, because it's the song itself is an anthem to friendship. Yeah. It was so beautiful. But what I loved most was when they would cut to the mosh pit.
I was like, the audience, because the audience was my favorite, Lisa, in the entire. Those were the most diehard fans. Like, the Beatles were up there screaming, crying, every
word. And some of these
word.
People would come out there and you'd see it and you'd go, oh my God, they're going to talk about this day forever.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I said it over and over. The audience is the best part of this special. The audience. I could have done without the Adam Lambert number. That was the one I was like,
which
get
one did
the
he
hug.
Sing?
The Fiero.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's also not one of my favorite songs.
No, I think that was probably part of it too. I loved the montage of it globally in all the different languages.
Yeah.
Was amazing. So
pretty huge phenomena. And Stephen Schwartz came out at the end.
He did.
That was good. So yeah, I enjoyed it as well.
But I found it interesting that a special for Wicked, which is, you know, a lot of kids, I mean, my 12-year-old niece, everything, was on at 10 p.m. Eastern time and 9 p.m. Central time.
It was late.
What child
is going to get to see that?
Yeah. Thank you.
Well,
so
you
I
see
was
it
like,
the
you missed
day.
Out on a lot. So. Not everybody has a DVR. Not everybody's doing that
That's
kind
true,
of stuff.
But,
so
yeah,
I was like very odd. And I know I was a very odd choice.
Okay. So. I agree. So I'm just going to rush us through because I just have one last thing I want to talk about. There was an article about, you know, Laura Benanti is playing Eliza Doolittle.
This was funny.
And a prop broke.
The music stand.
The music stand broke. But here's the deal. She gets an article because she didn't break character. And my little headline is, Laura Benanti does her job.
I read this article
like,
and I was like,
why
did this
is that an article?
Make the news? Don't. This is your job. Props break every. Lisa, yeah. I was like infuriated when I saw that and was like, really? This is
all right,
an article.
So let's take a little break. I'm only sorry that I didn't play this. This is from Dracula the Musical.
Oh, gosh.
I have this version in German and I should have done the German version, but I didn't. This is the master song. We'll be right back. Maybe.
The schooner runs before the storm.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
It's Sheps and Shiro.
It's Sheps and Shiro. And you know what happens when I hear that? I scream. We've had a lovely conversation with Ryan Crowder, Tyler Jones, Emily Christine Smith, and Matt Conley. And these are the representatives of Penfold Theater and Dr. Mr. Productions, production of Nevermore. I'm not going to say the other part because that's too long. Yeah. So, Ryan Crowder, you are the co-artistic director of Penfold Theater.
Yes, that's right.
Tell us about this show. What is it? What's it about? Who's it about?
Oh, gosh. Well, it's about Edgar Allan Poe, which is perfect.
I've heard of him.
For a day like today. And it was commissioned several years ago for the bicentennial of his birth. Mm-hmm. It's been 200 years since he was born. And
I got nothing for the bicentennial of my birth. Nothing.
Really?
Zero.
Yeah. Keep hanging in there.
I'll work on it.
We're planning it.
Played in New York, did an international tour, played in Austin about 2 years ago, was so popular, but the run was so short, bringing it back. And it's very spooky, creepy, Tim Burton-y Halloween show.
But it's also information-y.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
You learn a lot.
That's true. It takes
you do.
It goes through his whole life and sticks pieces of his work, weaves that through. So as you listen to the musical, you start to hear snatches of, oh, I know that line, and I know that line. And so it's really fun.
Yeah.
I always found Edgar Allan Poe fascinating.
Why?
He's just, for so many different reasons, personally, work-wise. I mean, let's face it, the guy is a football team named after a piece of his work. I mean, it just, so,
what?
The football. Ravens, the Baltimore
but
Ravens.
But that's not named after Poe.
It's after his work.
It is?
The Raven. Oh. Yes.
Well, the Ravens existed before Edgar Allan Poe. I just want to go on record.
Yes, but
nobody cares.
But it is because of his work and because of Poe and Baltimore and yes, exactly. But his life is so fascinating. I think part of it is the time that he was who he was.
Yeah.
Such a fascinating time in our history.
Yeah.
So I just have always found him intriguing.
And Tyler, you play Edgar Allan Poe, do you not?
I sure do.
So of course,
he plays football.
As the quintessential actor you are, you did a lot of research on Edgar Allan Poe. How factual is this?
I would say it's somewhat factual. I think it takes some liberties in terms of just the theatricality of it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more fanciful than your typical like biographical kind of story. But I would say it's mostly all true.
Is it fun to play him? When you look at the pictures of you, you look like this has got to be fun.
Surprisingly, for a character with so much tragedy happening, it is kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
why? Because it's not your tragedy.
That's true. We're going to take a quick step to the side and do our random legal ID right now.
Okay. Who do you think
I hope
it'll
it's
be?
A scary one.
Oh, will
I don't
it be?
Think, I know.
Do we have any scary
no, this
ones?
No, this is truly random, so I don't know. Here it is.
This is Timmy.
And Justin.
From the Angry Inch. And you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin.
That was The Angry Inch.
I forgot that. We haven't heard that one in a long time.
We haven't heard that one in a long time.
I forgot.
Okay, so Emily, Christine Smith, what role do you play in this show?
I play a number of roles. I play his sister, Rosie. I play his sort of adopted mother, Fanny. And then I also play his cousin, bride, Sissy. Cousin
bride. It's a lot of that going on.
So he's from Oklahoma. So yeah, so you play lots of different roles. And this show is I don't want to say it's necessarily sung through, but it's almost sung through.
Yeah. I mean, even when you're not singing, it stays in meter the whole time. You just change tempo, basically.
Yeah. So
walking metronomes.
Joel, who did the sound, is like told me, he says, there's 8 zillion cues in this show. Yeah,
that's true.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. I could imagine there are a hefty number. Yeah.
And Matt, you play one of the more fun characters in this. Do you not? Who do you play?
I do. I play Jock Allen, Edgar Allen Poe's adoptive father.
Who's a pirate.
A little bit, like a steampunk pirate, sure. Yeah.
I like to think of him as a pirate.
General creepy pirate.
Yeah. So y'all are going to do a piece from the show, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to set this one up at all?
College
life.
So this is, Edgar is 16, between 16 and 18. He's heading off to college and gives you some sort of insight into his relationship with Jock Allen.
Okay, can everybody hear in their headphones?
Yes.
Here we go. This is Tyler Jones, Emily Christine Smith, and Matt Connolly doing a number from Penfold Theater and Dr. Mister's production of Nevermore.
Much as Edgar had dreamed of what it would be, college life came as a shock. It was brutal and savage. Beyond all his wildest thoughts. What made it still worse was that this was a school for the wealthy and influential, who lived high on the hog while Edgar lacked even what most would consider essential. But Jock Allen had packed him off to college with barely enough for tuition, leaving Edgar each time he needed supplies, having to ask for permission.
Dear Pa, my studies go well. Thank you for sending the $39. To compete here, I'll need to keep up with my reading. For Pa, there are many fine scholars. To that end, please, could you send just $3 more, as I'm still short 2 books for class. Cervantes' Don Quixote.
Ugh.
And also, The Golden Ass.
My boy, though I enclose the $3 requested, quite frankly, I can't comprehend how reading such picarous trash will help to advance you toward that end.
2 months passed.
Dear Pa, great news. I've written a poem that the publishers Carrie and Lee have agreed to include in their next anthology for a small fee. Will you help? At my time in life, there's so much in being before the eyes of the nation. And if I can just once be noticed, I'll easily carve out a reputation.
The sort of reputation, my boy, you'd carve out as a poet is hardly the sort we'd agreed was the aim of your studies, and you know it!
But Pa...
No.
If you would just help me this once...
I said no!
I would always be grateful.
Have you no honor? This dishonesty, boy, this deceit, this betrayal is hateful. I'm no longer surprised, not at all, not by one single thing that you say or you do.
It was nearly 5 months before one further note was exchanged between the two, and then...
Dear Pa, I haven't a cent in the world. I've no hope I'll be able to stay. Please, I'm desperate, and have tasted not one bite of food now for many a day.
My boy, if you'd not just been eating the bread of idleness...
Always the same accusation.
You would have learned that money is earned with hard work, resourcefulness, and determination.
And so, with a bit of hard work and a lot of resourcefulness, Edgar indeed did determine that he would master the art of the poker face bluff and the science of guzzling cheap bourbon. for the former and a love of the latter, soon he was drowning in debt, and he was forced to ride home.
Dear Pa, I've made many mistakes which I deeply regret. I haven't a shadow of pride, and have neither money nor friend. I most anxiously wait for your answer, for I fear I shall soon meet my end.
In the end, Jock Allen refused to pay one more penny despite Edgar's pleas. And so empty-handed, the boy returned home, 2 years short of his promised degree.
Matt, you are mean.
Very mean.
There was so much fun in here, by the way.
It was fun. So as a performer, how difficult is it to... So you're speaking in meter, which sort of tells you the meter what you're speaking. How difficult is it to bring your own character development into that
meter?
I like it because I feel like the composer has sort of told me how he wants the scene to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a strength to, I'm a player in this scene, but there's such a strength to her, you know, what she's saying, and it's on the strong beats. And so, you know, like, this isn't a like light scene. This is a go for it scene. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, it is unusual that you have to do something that's that in rhythm, but in terms of like the tone and the sound of it, you can... Mm-hmm. Play with it.
Right, but I would think that would add a certain challenge to mm-hmm. character development.
It absolutely does. And it's a really fun challenge to try and figure out how to get that characterization into that meter that already exists.
Right.
And like Emily said, it's very much the playwright saying, this is kind of what the feel is.
Get out there and do your damn lines, okay? Right. Stop trying to act. I'm not feeling it. So, who wrote this? Who wrote the book? Who wrote the lyrics? Who wrote all the stuff? Emily.
Jonathan Christensen.
Yeah, I just threw that out to her and she just knew it off the top of her head. It was amazing.
Totally. Yep.
Jonathan Christensen did book and lyrics?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know. Yeah. I'm
just
equally
a
so
musical
I think
by
he
him.
Did both.
He did do both.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a fun show.
It truly
it's a fun
is.
Show. Is it fun to do?
It's a lot of fun to do. So this is Tyler and I's second go round. And yeah, it's dark. It's spooky. It's a little bit zany. It's just a lot of fun.
So how was it to remount? So when you came back into rehearsal after 2 years, did it just come back to you?
No.
Wait, don't you want to think about that for a little bit?
I was like,
bit?
Hesitate,
so this was like,
please.
Back at square one, starting from the beginning.
Well, I think it was actually easier for me and Natalie were the two newbies put into the cast. Mm-hmm. So we just got to learn the blocking. But for them, they kept about half the original blocking and then changed half of it. So they were always trying to remember old versus new, whereas I was like, I got this.
New muscle
So we should
memory.
Say that this was directed by Michael McKelvey. Mm-hmm. And some of the other actors are whom?
We've got...
Stephen Mercantile, right. Joey Banks.
Natalie Blackman.
That's it.
And of course, you have also, God, I just lost her name.
Suzanne Balling.
Thank you, Suzanne Balling.
Sorry, Suzanne.
I am terrible with names.
Suzanne, apology to Suzanne.
Suzanne, well, she doesn't do much in it.
They're all rolling their eyes at Lisa. That was
everybody,
pretty funny.
I'm pretty mad. So, you can always say this.
I'll get you, my pretty.
I feel like a morning drive time DJ.
I was
doing
just about to say, like, who are you right now?
Yeah. I don't know. So let's just take a little break. We will talk about some local stuff, and then we'll come back and talk about this more. Does that sound fair? And speaking of, this is a song. It's from a musical, but it's about a football team.
Once upon a midnight dream.
Okay, quoth the Raven. That's the Raven, the football team. So just very quickly, we'll not spend a whole bunch of time here in local, but we do need to get to today in theater history because that's very important. But Something for Nothing Theater is doing Macbeth outside and at Ramsey Park, which I don't know where Ramsey Park is. Anybody?
Yeah, it's 45th and Burnett is kind of the general.
Okay,
general
that's why area. I don't know. I don't know anything about North. Anyway, it's a creepy version. It said they call it...
Because Macbeth isn't creepy?
Yeah. They said this is a beautifully creepy, high-intensity Halloween version of Macbeth. Bring your chairs. For more information, you can go to, come on, give me a website here. I don't know. Do a Google search for Something for Nothing Theater, Macbeth. And yeah, they got to do something.
You found that on Now Playing Austin.
Or you can go to nowplayingaustin.com or .org or .something. Anybody have anything else they want to talk about locally other than Nevermore?
Now Playing.
The Insidious Life of Edgar Allan Poe.
Until the Flood is opening.
Until the Flood is opening this week. That's they were on the show last week, and that's at the Vortex, I think. Directed by Jenny Lavery and stars Florinda Bryant. That just sounds fascinating to me.
Yeah, that theater on block.
You
know?
So let's go back to today in theater history.
Today in theater history. Spooky theater history. Yes!
think back to 1896.
That was a scary year.
This is the birthday of Ethel Waters.
Oh, Ethel.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of her either. But she did a whole bunch of musicals and plays, including Member of the Wedding, A Thousand Cheer, Cabin in the Sky, and Lou Leslie's Blackbirds, which I've never heard of, but I want to find it now. Lou Leslie's Blackbird.
You've said that last time we mentioned Lou Leslie's Blackbird. Okay. I still have never looked it up, but...
I don't know. So in 1956, the Broadhurst Theater for 639 performances, Auntie Mame, starring Rosalind Russell.
Oh, it's where Hugh did his one-man show. Love that Broadhurst.
And in 1957, a year before I was born, Ricardo Montalban and Lena Horne were played Jamaica, which is a show by Yip Harburg and Harold Arlen. It ran 555 performances.
I can't even believe that's today in theater history. I have talked about Ricardo Montalban multiple times this week, and that is random.
There you go.
So exciting.
This is also the birthday of Brian Stokes Mitchell.
Oh.
He did shows like Ragtime, Kiss of the Spider Woman, Kiss Me Kate, Jolly's Last Jam, blah, 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 blah. He's done a few.
He did some big ones.
He also kissed me on the cheek once. So.
Did he? Oh, tell that story.
That's kind of fabulous.
That's the whole story.
That's the whole story? Okay. All right.
And a good story it was.
Good radio.
So let's see. Let's just skip to 1988. This is someone who I heard on a podcast, his voice on a podcast, John Houseman. He passed away in 1988. And he was, I heard his voice because he was partners with and the producer of, what's the Orson Welles?
War of the Worlds?
War of the Worlds.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That was not what I was going to pull out of my hat when you were shaking your hands going, you know the...
So... this is also the death anniversary of Joseph Papp, which I didn't know.
Is it really?
Yeah. And then in 2010, your greatest friends, Kander and Ebb, opened the Scottsboro Boys in 2010. Susan Stroman directed it. Our friend of the show, Larry Hockman, wrote the... was the accompanist, arranger. Thank you. That's what I meant to say.
I was on it. I was with you.
And Ground Floor Theater really wants to do this, so please release the rights so that we can do it.
Well, I mean, they are the greatest composing American Broadway duo history and the longest.
So in 2012, you will remember this because you were in New York. On this day, 3 days after the canceled performances due to Hurricane Sandy.
This was my PTSD trap for 14 days.
Yeah, most of the shows came back today.
Yep. Well, I was at that final one at Annie, and then they closed it down with my niece.
And then here you go, because it all comes back.
It all comes back to Morgan.
No, it comes back to you.
No, Morgan.
In 2014, Hugh Jackman opened the River.
That Jez Butterworth show that I still don't understand. But boy, it was great. And Kush Jumbo was awesome.
There you go. So that's today in theater history.
That Hedwig doing the legal ID today? I recorded right after I saw The River.
There you go.
Just wrap it all up in a perfect
package.
Keeps
going. It's all about Nicole. So let's take a little break. Let's listen to a little bit of keeping in the scary vein, yet understanding we just did...
Spooky.
Just did Today in Theater History. We'll listen to the Scottsboro Boys talking about The Electric Chair.
Ooh. Hey, little boy, look over there. That's
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Sheps and Shiro.
And also...
I'll get you, my pretty. Yeah. Your little dog.
Tell me, Margaret Hamilton. We still have to go to Chittenangle Falls to go visit the yellow brick sidewalks.
Okay, we have been talking with Emily Smith, Tyler Jones, Ryan Crowder, and Matt Conley, all of Dr. Mista and Penfold Theater's production of Nevermore.
Nevermore.
Hold on, I'm going to do the whole thing. The Imaginary Life and Mysterious Death of Edgar Allan Poe. See, I don't need a sound effect for that.
Nevermore.
So it sounds like a lot of fun doing the show. It looks like a lot of fun, as I've seen. I have not been able to sit and watch the entire show, even though it's happening at Ground Floor Theater. I know that tonight is a special performance. So what's going on tonight at Nevermore?
So tonight is our special Halloween bash. Obviously, the show is going to happen, but we really are encouraging people to come in costume. So I know you two are going to come tonight.
Yeah, this is my costume.
I was
excellent.
I want to know what Lisa is going to dress
up. I'm dressed as a jean jacket.
I'm actually mad because I had a tiny hat with bats and Halloween. I left it at the front door. Okay. I know.
And you would actually be good at this. We're doing some Poe trivia, so you can throw in your Raven knowledge.
There you go.
I have a National Park passport stamp from visiting Poe things.
Hey, there you go. You could lead the trivia.
No,
you
could.
New job.
No.
So what, can you just, for readers of the, readers, for listeners to this show, can you give them a hint or even a early answer for one of the trivia questions? Or anything, any kind of Poe trivia that you would like to share?
Well, we talked about the fact that this show is written for his bicentennial. So if you're going to come and compete, you might want to know when he was born.
And bicentennial, because our readers aren't the smartest, so it's 200 years.
That's right.
When I say our,
imagine
our readers,
imagine when we
I
had
mean,
to
us.
Play trivia and all we had was the Encyclopedia Britannica. I mean, the world of Google is in front of you now.
I did not have Encyclopedia Britannica. I had World Book Encyclopedia.
You still had an encyclopedia.
But I did not have Encyclopedia Britannica.
That's okay. Different strokes for different folks. That's what makes the world go round.
So there will be a competition for...
For costumes, for trivia. We're going to have music and dancing, treats, all kinds of stuff.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
So is all this fun post or pre or a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. So we got a little bit of action before and in the middle of intermission and after.
I got the email. I got the 411 email to me today, so I know what's going to happen. It sounds like a lot of fun.
There
it's going to be
go.
A lot of fun.
There you go.
I wouldn't want to miss it is what I would say.
There you go.
Yeah. So let's listen to some more of the show, shall we?
Yes,
so this is next one a solo performance? Mm-hmm. So Tyler, you want to set it up? You want to tell us about what you're going to be singing?
Can you just talk about Tyler's shirt for a minute?
So talk about Tyler's shirt. You want to describe Tyler's shirt?
I think Tyler should because he's smiling so big.
It's a shirt that says "Quoth the Raven," and I'm pretty much a walking billboard at
there
this point.
I love it.
Quoth the Raven. That is it's a football jersey.
It is. It is. You totally figured it out.
It's a football jersey. So you're singing Israfel.
What she said.
Nailing it.
And do you need to set it up or?
This is right after Poe has just been introduced to poetry and he's starting to come into his own. And that's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, let's listen to
the first joyful experience he's had in the show.
Yay. Mazel tov. So let's listen to Tyler Jones singing Israfel from Penfold Theater and Dr. Mister's production of Nevermore, The Imaginary Life and Mysterious Death of Edgar Allan Poe. You ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
They say in heaven a soul did dwell, and none could sing so wildly well. At least that's what the legends tell. They say his name was Israfel. They say the echoes of his voice formed on earth the flowers. They say the shadow of his bliss fueled the sun of ours. They say the silver moon did blush, the stars did all salute. When the angel Israfel played upon his lute, and seraphim, they ceased their hymn, and all of heaven fell mute. When the angel Israfel did sing and play his lute, and there is beauty where there is hope. Yes, there is beauty where there is hope. One day I'll be like Israfel, for I will one day write so well that with my words men's hearts will swell, and they will fall under my spell. And when these words I sing, blush, the stars salute, and seraphim will cease their hymn, the heavens will fall mute, and wonder will encircle me with every note I sound, and mystery will round me float with every poetry shall fill my soul with beauty which is hope. Poetry shall fill my soul with beauty which is hope. Poetry shall fill my soul with beauty which is hope. Poetry shall fill my soul with beauty. And there is beauty where there is hope.
How beautiful is that? Where there is beauty, there is Tyler. That was the, you probably don't know, but that was the original lyric.
It was.
Yeah. What a beautiful song. So is Israfel somebody I should know? Am I, or is that a made-up god?
Isn't it your dad?
it's my dad.
It's one of Poe's poems.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Well, this. I knew that. I've read all Israfel, of his poems. Yeah. Yeah, I've just learned how to read. So you're in your second of 3 weeks, correct?
Yes, that's right.
How's everything going?
It's going great. We're having a great time. This week is a little bit longer for us. We go Wednesday through Sunday because of Halloween. We couldn't miss Halloween.
Yeah. I call it All Hallows Eve.
And then next week we have a short week. And so if people want to see it, you know, this is a good week to do
great.
It.
Great. So where do folks go to get more information?
If you'd like more information, you can go to penfoldtheater.org, Dr. Mista. .org. Yeah. I think so too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Or you could always just Google Nevermore Austin and you'd find it.
Or show up at the ground floor.
Or show up at Ground Floor Theater. I am so happy that you guys came up. We had so much fun.
Exciting. This was a good holiday.
I'm hoping all or some of you can stick around and join us backstage once the show closes here today. And we'll learn a little bit more about you. For a spooky dumpster dive. We're going to play Macbeth backstage. So,
oh my gosh, that was the greatest thing ever.
I'm on fire. So thank you guys for coming. And best of luck within the next 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Ryan Crowder, Tyler Jones, Emily Christine Smith, and Matt Conley of Penfold and Dr. Mister's production of Nevermore, The Imaginary Life and Mysterious Death of Edgar Allan Poe. Play now through November 10th at Ground Floor Theater. For more information, penfoldtheater.org. We'll be right back.
When all of my hours pass dimly by, and colorless clouds obscure.
Well, that was so much fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Don't you think it was fun?
It was fun.
I thought it was fun.
I do too.
Well, in a scary way.
It's spooky.
It was
I feel
spooky.
A cue coming on.
Well, I just have to see if I
can you do it?
No, I don't want to do it.
Why not?
Because it's scary.
It just happens.
So are you going to trick-or-treat tonight?
No, I'm going to answer the door for the trick-or-treaters.
Okay. I'm not even doing
that. Love trick-or-treaters and talking to all them about their costumes is very exciting.
I may turn off your lights, pull the shades, and stay at home.
It?
I don't.
I do have to laugh. We'll talk about it offstage, but I have to tell you about the lady in the construction
tape. We'll talk about that
offstage
because we got to go.
Yes.
Remember, get us on the podcast at offstageonair.com.
Yep, you just enter your email right in the little box there on the right, and voila, we arrive every Thursday.
You can also get us through Apple Podcasts. But if you can't, if you get the podcast, you get extras like backstage and offstage.
Like the dumpster diving.
Like the
spooky dumpster
diving
happening today. It's only for the podcaster.
Spooky dumpster diving.
Spooky!
It's true. That is it for our show. If you're listening to us on terrestrial radio, you will listen to Austin Monitor News next with our very dear friend Tracy Schultz. Hello, Tracy.
We love the Tracy.
He says hello. If you're listening on the podcast, stick around. You'll get backstage at offstage. And our final little horrific music melange.
The horror!
Comes this way. We'll see y'all next week. The curtain has just come down on Oui, the musical.
Le musical.
The Halloween version. That's it. That's the whole story. The Halloween version of Oui, the musical.
Oui, the musical.
And I'm not sure why I'm not hearing anything in my headphones, so I'm just going to like...
I see the little graphs going up and down with our voices.
I can't hear. So we're here backstage.
Lisa, can you hear me?
The show has come down, and we are here backstage, and we've walked out the stage door next to the dumpsters, and we are going to go Halloween dumpster diving here.
Well, I get me out. I'm stuck.
Yeah. and
help!
We have back here Tyler Jones. Hi, Tyler.
Hello.
Oh, he's running to the microphone. Co-op is so poor we can't afford enough microphones for everybody.
You're so ridiculous.
Ryan Crowder.
Hello.
Hello. We have Matt Conley.
Hey, hey.
And Emily Christine Smith.
Hello.
I'm telling you, this is just... I figured it out. I figured the problem.
I
figured it out.
You figured it out.
I'm
just going to give a song for every piece of word today.
I had the incorrect...
Every piece of
word.
So
I'm going to start with Emily. You've not been back here, right?
Somebody
hasn't been back here.
I have.
Who hasn't been back?
I have been.
Tyler.
I just remembered.
We don't have to bore our audience with the details.
So let's talk about
where you came from. So let's talk about Halloween.
How spooky.
Who loves Halloween?
I love Halloween.
Okay.
I used
Emily
to.
Emily says yes.
Yeah.
Matt says
a whole bunch.
He wins so far. Tyler?
Indifferent.
Indifferent. Thank you.
I'm shocked.
And Ryan?
You know, a lot of my Halloween memories are as a kid. I need to make some new Halloween memories.
Yeah, I don't have any current
I used to get down with it like hardcore until Hurricane Sandy stole Halloween that year. There was no Halloween. And I've never recovered from it and celebrated Halloween since.
Oh, there you go. The storm that stole Halloween.
Yeah, I had PTSD from Sandy.
Yeah, that's going to play just before The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Yeah.
The storm that stole Halloween.
All of you are going to be working tonight, but if you weren't working tonight, what would you be doing?
Who would you dress up as? What would your costume
that would be?
Super nerdy. I don't know if anyone watches Dirk Gently, but we were planning on doing a group costume of Dirk Gently this
what
year.
What is Dirk Gently? Don't even know
it's,
that.
Originally a Douglas Adams book,
okay.
And then Hulu
Hitchhiker's
made,
Guide for
not
those.
Hulu, BBC America made a show with Elijah Wood.
You know what? I get Hulu.
I didn't
and
know
BBC
it was a show. Now I knew
time.
It was the book, but it's a show.
It's a great show. It is joyfully campy and absurd and wonderful.
And you can find it on BBC
Hulu.
America, Hulu,
yeah,
okay,
or BBC America,
or BBC America, one of those two. And it's called Give us the title again.
Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency.
Oh my, it sounds like
okay.
Fun.
Now when you say the whole thing, I feel like I did. See
Are there any kind of people in it that I would know?
Elijah Wood.
Okay, I know him.
Yeah. It's
an
Austinite.
Like this.
Like
I'm the thumb.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's an Austinite too.
It's true.
Okay. I did not know
there
that.
There you go.
Yeah. Matt.
I didn't know.
Yes.
What would you do?
That's tricky. It is. I like to be at the door to, you know, hand out candy to the trick or treaters and see their costumes and all that, mm-hmm. and kind of scare them a little bit because that's my jam. But that said, like, we only have maybe one or two trick or treaters come to the door ever.
Yeah.
So tonight, what I'm planning on doing is just intermittently in the show breaking character and asking audience members for candy.
There you go. Let me tell you something.
Ryan's
Laura Benanti,
excited about that.
Laura Benanti would not do that.
No, she would not.
She's a pro.
She's got an article.
She's got an article.
it is codified in the New York Times. Actually, it wasn't the New York Times. It was some other.
It wasn't the New York Times, no. But it was still ridiculous that it was an article.
It was. Okay, so Ryan, what would you be doing if you weren't doing Nevermore tonight?
What would you be doing? I'm with Matt. I really like scaring people.
It's the best. I think
I would be on board with scaring small children. There is there's a fall festival in my neighborhood, so I'd totally go to that, dress up spooky, jump out.
They have a fall festival tonight?
Yeah, yeah.
What neighborhood do you live in? And what's your address?
I'm not
And what's the code to get it? Yeah.
And your mother's maiden name is?
My social security number.
So, Tyler, you're here in the club, as I am.
Indifferent.
What's the word you use? Indifferent. Yes. So what would you typically do?
Well, the reality is I would probably just go as Edgar Allan Poe because I have little to no imagination. But I actually just saw someone dressed up as Pennywise from It.
Ooh.
I think that would be fun.
Now that is truly scary, though.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah,
that is truly scary. Clowns are just frightening. What about you, Nicole?
They are frightening.
Well, you are going to be home tonight.
I'm going to be home tonight and have my little Halloween fascinator.
What will you be wearing?
On. I'm just going to have like a little Halloween fascinator on. Fascinator, a little tiny hat that's like on a headband.
I've never heard that term.
It's an English term. It's a fascinator. The queen wears one.
I'm fascinating.
Yes, you wear your fascinator to church. I don't have an outfit for this year, really. My brother and I dressed up as Thing 1 and Thing 2 to answer the door last year. Yeah, I know.
Thing from the Addams Family?
No, like Dr. Seuss, Thing 1, Thing 2, with the
like
crazy blue hair and the red jacket that says
like
Thing 1 with
onesie?
The circle.
I did not have a childhood. I am so sorry. I didn't know that. The only Dr. Seuss that I know is the Sneetches.
But I wanted to dress up like Evel Knievel this year, and I just didn't get my butt in line. Oh, my God, I love it. I had an Evel Knievel doll and a Cher doll when I was a kid. Forget Barbie. And they went on dates.
I do indeed.
It was everything.
Turn off the lights. But I did that out of necessity because my first year in my home 18 years ago, I guess I tell this every year.
No.
I had all the stuff and nobody came, not one thing. And so I did that for a couple of years and I said, you know, not going to do it. So I didn't do anything. I just watch TV, and at 9 o'clock, ding dong, the doorbell rings, and there's this little cute little family there, and I got nothing. And I said that I got nothing, and I didn't even have a dollar to give them. I had nothing. And so
as long as you weren't the penny lady, because you always remembered who gave the pennies, who was that lady in the neighborhood
from
that gave the pennies.
I love that. Well, you know, they do have this program now because, you know, we're all very careful about allergies and whatnot. It's the Green Lantern program where people pull out a Green Lantern and they give things like toothbrushes instead of candy, which
that's interesting.
Yeah. A can of soup.
That would not be the neighborhood.
And growing up, you know, we had a very lively neighborhood.
You trick-or-treated in Houston as a child.
Of course I
too.
Did.
So did I. And I did. Man, my neighbor and I used to make all of our costumes and make matching outfits and would sew them all. I mean, Halloween used to be... Sandy really ruined Halloween for me.
Well, go to therapy.
I do.
And work it out. All right. So Halloween notwithstanding, let's talk about one of the things I like to talk about, especially for returning folks, is what would you be doing if you weren't doing theater? What's another passion that you have outside of theater?
No one has a passion outside of theater. I mean,
Kevin has a passion. Cool. What is it?
So mine.
I'm calling you Kevin from now on.
You should. Yeah, that's all right.
You looked like a Kevin for a moment.
We'll pretend that Kevin's my middle name, so it all works out.
Matt Kevin.
No, I would probably be Oh man, I would be probably nonstop Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh,
yeah. Something wrong with that?
Thing. Well, no, there's not. But it's
Dungeons and Dragons is fun. I have to
it's
say,
it's tons of fun. Yeah. It's very. I mean, it's.
Are you a dungeon master?
I am a dungeon master, Lisa. It is true.
You do not have to be embarrassed. I mean, nope. When I toured with Joffrey Ballet's third company, we played Dungeons and Dragons. Nice. One of our dancers was a dungeon master.
What class did you play?
I still have my little.
It's like, don't you have everything
of
still?
All the, nice. Yeah, I have everything still, but I haven't cool. played. This was in the mid 80s. I haven't played since then. But I played different ones because I kept getting killed.
As you do.
Anybody else play Dungeons and Dragons?
Did as a child.
I did have. I did a show where I was performing in it, and the director was a big D&D person, and she said. She got really frustrated because she wanted to direct using D&D terms.
Oh,
and those of us that didn't play couldn't follow. And she got angrily frustrated and said, I wish y'all knew D&D so I could direct you guys.
That's like someone directing in Vulcan. I mean, I love Star Trek, but there's a time and a place.
Wow. Have an adjacent set of skills, yeah.
Yeah.
So now, do you things like World of Warcraft or any of the role-playing games online?
I used to. I've been clean of World of Warcraft for 3 years now.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Lisa used to play the WoW all the time,
oh, really?
Too.
Is that right?
I got addicted. And I'm not a gamer. I got addicted.
It's a fun game.
It was fun. I was good. I was a healer, priest.
Alliance or Horde? Super important.
Both, actually. Both. Okay. I had the highest level on both, but I started as Alliance and I switched over to Horde because I became a member of a guild called the Epic Dolls, which was a podcast I listened to.
Nice.
And they were so I had to build up my old character anyway. But no, it's good. So we could talk about all this. Emily, what fun passions do you have outside of theater?
If I couldn't do theater, I would just be in a bookstore 24/7.
So you're a reader?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of stuff do you like to read?
Everything. But I lately have been reading a lot of sci-fi.
You had to think about it.
Well, because, you know, it's sci-fi, but it's very... It's not sci-fi in the Star Trek way. It's sci-fi in the... There are elements to it that are not real, but...
Yeah, somebody.
Still a novel.
I was talking to somebody that said they were reading something, and they said, and I forgot what they said, but it was something fi. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's like sci-fi and
like
whatever.
A Dune or something that like right. has those elements, but isn't so much like we're on
so
a spaceship.
So, if you were to recommend
flying.
A book to our audience who kind of likes theater, hopefully,
mm-hmm. okay,
what would you recommend?
So, I am obsessed with a book called "The Girl with All the Gifts," ooh. Especially for Halloween. It is a zombie. Basically a zombie book, but in the best possible way. It's about children after a zombie apocalypse who are discovered still have cognitive functions.
Oh.
And they try to teach them, but they're still zombies. And it's terrifying and wonderful.
Sounds like fun. Now, did you read growing up?
I did.
Were your parents yeah. readers?
Yeah, my parents are readers. My brother, everyone in my family. I mean, my brother reads a book every couple of days.
I'm so jealous of that.
It's ours. We all, everybody lives so across the United States, so we all talk to each other about what books we're reading, mm-hmm. and we sign the book and then mail it to the next person so you see who's read the book, and it just keeps, the books keep going around, and it's funny when you talk to someone, you're like, oh, it's all the way out in California right now. Oh, you're reading that one. And a lot of them are books people wouldn't be like, I like the historical fiction, but not my family. But now they're reading them, and vice versa. So we're all reading such different.
That's such a great idea.
Different stuff.
There you go.
See, I never pay for books because my brother still gets advanced readers.
Yep.
So he'll read it and then he'll give me.
I haven't bought
a
book in so long. It's like I buy one in a blue moon because there's so many.
Oh, yeah.
And there's not a lot of blue moons. I'll have to tell you that. Ryan, what's your passion outside of theater?
You know, one of the things that I really enjoy about theater, both doing shows and producing, is that you're always learning new stuff.
Yes.
You know, because it's always a new show, it's always a new this, and the same thing with producing. And so I think I would be a, just consume. I love puzzles. I love figuring things out. I think I'd be reading, but probably nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the reasons I like math and foreign language. It feels
well,
like
who
you're...
doesn't like math, really?
But it's like a puzzle. You know, you gotta figure it out. And I love
so
it.
You would just be doing escape rooms all the time.
Ooh, escape rooms would be super fun.
I've not done one of those. I've done the electronic version.
Great.
So, yeah.
Or travel.
I didn't know there was an electronic version.
Travel or escape rooms, one or the other.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep, electronic version.
Well, depending on where you go, you know, there's probably some crossover.
Tyler, passion, go.
I think if I wasn't doing theater, I would probably be a newscaster or some sort of journalism situation, sportscaster. I like sports.
Do you? Yeah. Did you know that the Ravens were a football team?
Yes, and I knew that they were named after that poem.
<Edgar. laughs>
I did.
Didn't I just assume they were named after
the
bird?
I'm not the only one who thinks theater and sports are okay to both like. She thinks I'm like the solo person. No, I'm like, no.
They can overlap.
No.
Yeah, and yet not.
Yeah. I don't know.
Mostly not.
If you were at Thursday Night Football last week in Houston, it was a theatrical event.
So you would be a sports cat or a journalist of some sort?
Possibly, yeah.
Cool. Have you ever done anything like that?
No. Nothing.
All right. Well, that's your.
But
that's
I just
have.
It's always been kind of in the back of my.
Do you like
to
talk with your hand over your ear?
Yes.
Who does that anymore?
Mariah Carey does.
He sings that the whole way as Poe.
Everybody on the Daily Show does that, although they don't have an IFB. So here is pop quiz. IFB is the name of the thing that's in their ear, right? That's what it's called. IFB. Anybody know what it stands for?
Tell us, Lisa.
No, I'm asking our studio audience.
Inner.
Nope.
Close. International frequency booster. That's not right at all.
Internal? Oh.
No, that's not it.
Sounded good, though.
Internal.
Frequency.
Feed.
Oh, feed.
Back.
Oh.
Back. I wouldn't have gotten the back on that one.
IFB. Yeah. You guys, see, you learned something on offstage and on the air.
Dun, dun, dun.
And,
do you know why candy corn is called candy corn?
Because it looks like corn and it's actually candy.
If you stack it with the points in the middle and go all the way up, yep. It looks like an actual corn cob. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, okay.
I'll show you.
So, Nicole Shiro, it's okay. It's all right.
No,
stick with the show instead. Stick with the show instead. I want to hear what you would be doing if you weren't doing.
Oh, I mean, I do it, but I would travel more. I like to travel all the time, but instead of like planning one big trip a year, I would just be gone all the time.
That'd be nice.
And reading and seeing different theater and calling you and doing radio from around the world and learning more languages.
I don't read nearly enough. I love reading when it happens, when I read a book and I get into it, but it's not something that I'm not attracted to. It just doesn't come to me naturally because my family weren't readers. And they were, if you ever saw The Wonder Years and they stuffed the kids in front of the television set.
Oh, yeah.
That was my family. We'll stuff the kids in front of the TV set. We never read.
So you said more languages? Does that mean you already have some in your pocket?
I can speak conversational French, a hair of Dutch, and I've been learning Japanese for a while now and getting better. I'm actually going to immerse even more because I'm going to the Olympics, Tokyo 2020. I'm Japanese, trapped in an Italian, Irish, Mexican, Spanish body. Lisa knows this. There are other languages I would like to learn. I know a good amount of words to get by in probably like 20 languages, like hello, goodbye, where's about, like just safety things or I don't speak it, speak slow, please.
Yeah. Could you sing a song, like a Broadway song in another language?
Yeah, do it.
Not a Broadway. I actually could sign to sing popular in Japanese, but my favorite song is the first song I ever learned in a foreign language is a Dutch song about fish. It's kind of similar to 100 Bottles of Beer on the Wall, so I will not do the whole song, but it's a kleine visjes, die zwammen naar zee. Nee, zee, rein, ik ga niet mee. Ik won de liebe in de wies, de baal is loop. Kus de ween ze haaien in de bijt hier. Bloop, 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 bloop. A kleine vis, die zwarmen naar zee. Nee, zee, Lisa, ik ga niet mee. Ik ga de lieve in de wiese waar de sloek, kus de wind ze haaien in de bijt hier dood.
Ik blijf liever in die goeie oude sloot, want in de zee zwemmen haaien en die bijten je. Blub, 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 blubberdie blub. Blub, 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 blubberdie blub.
So I did two in one, so two little fish swimming in the ditch. No, said Ryan, I won't go with. I won't go in the sea because the sharks will bite you. Bloop, 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 bloop.
And what's that?
And then the
called?
Last one was one little fish swimming in the ditch. No, said Lisa, I won't go with. I won't go in the sea because the sharks will bite you. Dead. That's how it ends.
Spooky for Halloween.
And now all the Dutch people are like, boy, did she slaughter that one? And yes, I did, probably.
Yes, you did. Well, this has been a very fun and spooky backstage and offstage. Thank you guys for joining us back here amongst the dumpsters.
Yes.
Yeah, so we had a good time.
I found some good treats.
I will have to take this opportunity because we're not under the same rules here on the podcast. Ground Floor Theater is started rehearsal for Fun Home. It opens December 6th, closes December 22nd. It's going to be amazing. We have an amazing cast, and this is the Allison Bechtel play.
Where does one get more information?
One would get more information at groundfloortheater.org, but I'm really excited to announce that one of our actors, Sandra Mae Frank, is deaf. She'll be playing the role of Joan, and she'll be doing it in ASL with super titles. So this has led to some interesting challenges to direct it. So Medium Allison will be speaking back to her in ASL as she's trying to learn as they're dating. And when she speaks to Mom and Dad when they meet for the first time, they don't know ASL at all. So we have to play with all this stuff and have a good time. But it's going to be pretty amazing.
Can I was just trying to explain to someone recently what super titles were opposed to subtitles. Would you mind explaining that?
Well, it's pretty simple. Subtitles are underneath. Super titles are above.
Yep. A lot of people don't know, but super titles exist. Yeah. They were like, what? And I'm like, it's a projection beside or next to. So, yeah.
So that hearing audiences will not lose the meaning behind what she's saying. So we're really excited. I mean, she is amazing. She was in Spring Awakening at the Deaf West production in New York that we talked about here that I had tickets to that couldn't go because
I saw that. It was so good.
Did you see it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So you've seen her?
Who was she in Spring Awakening?
I keep forgetting. One of the two girls.
She was Wendela, wasn't she?
I don't remember which, and I talk about it enough. Yeah.
Wow.
She's amazing, and I had tickets for closing night, two things happened. A, Ground Floor Theater got shut down, which was going to keep me here, but B, there was a big snowstorm, which closed the airports. But anyway, Ground Floor Theater, our tickets are pay what you want, so... you know, we want you to pay between $30 and $45, but we also want you to come see it. Box office is open, groundfloortheater.org. Anything else you want to do to plug anything you're doing? We're not under the same rules. Anything? Nevermore.
Nevermore, of course, which is, you know, running through November 10th, big Halloween party tonight. Anybody have projects coming up next?
Okay.
I have one more thing I'm going to talk about because I'm very, very excited. Terrence McNally is coming to town for his 80th birthday celebration, and there's a big weekend event happening with the Harry Ransom Center and Zach Theater. For more information, Zach Theater / McNally. There's three different days events. Cheetah freaking Rivera is coming, folks.
Yeah, amazing.
John Glover, Richard Tom. I mean, woo!
Amazing people are coming to that.
Woo!
I've gotten like...
And it's Terrence freaking McNally.
Okay, well, great. Thanks for coming backstage.
He's an 80-year-old.
If it's... Well, I'm not going to even say it. So, happy Halloween, everybody.
Spooky!
Bye. See ya. Liever in die goeie oude sloot, want in de zee zwemmen haaien en die bijten je.